Welcome. You're listening to a podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. I'm Ron Fraser. Today we're talking about the emancipation of women. A larger topic would be, I suppose, the equality of men and women, but today we're talking specifically about the emancipation of women. We're going to listen to a talk by Lely Miller, who's the executive director of the Tahereh Justice Center in Virginia, an organization. I'll put a link to their website in the blog. Their organization has done wonderful work representing women in the justice system and even taking care of women around the world. This is a worldwide problem. The Universal House of Justice, the highest governing body of the Baha'is around the world, has said that, quote, "The emancipation of women, the achievement of full equality between the sexes, is one of the most important, though less acknowledged, prerequisites of peace. The denial of such equality perpetrates an injustice against one half of the world's population and promotes in men harmful attitudes and habits that are carried from the family to the workplace to political life and ultimately to international relations. There are no grounds, moral, practical, or biological, upon which such denial can be justified. Only as women are welcomed into full partnership in all fields of human endeavor will the moral and psychological climate be created in which international peace can emerge." Recently at the Tahereh Justice Center, they had a promotional benefit event, and one of the speakers was Her Majesty Queen Noor of Jordan. This is a portion of Her Majesty's speech. She said, "We come together tonight to say with one voice that the unspeakable reality that up to 7 of 10 women in some nations report having been physically assaulted by an intimate male partner at some point in their lives is an abomination. The reality that as many as 3 out of 4 female murder victims across the world are killed by their husbands or male friends is an abomination. The reality that women, particularly married women, are among the fastest growing new number of cases of HIV because girls in many places have no say over their bodies is an abomination. And the reality that many courageous women are forced to flee with their children from female genital mutilation is an abomination. We also come here to say with one voice that women's rights are not special rights. Women's rights are human rights." All right, let's listen to the talk by Lely Miller. She uses an interesting analogy of the two wings of a bird representing the male and the female wings of mankind. I'm going to put the actual quote from the Baha'i writings on the blog, so you can check out the blog for that. So here's Lely Miller.
"You see, I believe that we are collectively a part of an ever-advancing civilization, and that we do, throughout our history, go through periods of growth and evolution and change. And we go through different stages in our development. If you look throughout history, you can see how we have gone through stages of childhood, of infancy. And I would submit to you that humankind is currently in a stage of adolescence. And if you think for a moment about what those qualities of adolescence are, or what adolescence means, I think that you can see how we are in this stage now. For example, an adolescent strives for independence. They strive for a sense of identity and autonomy. I think that if you look at the world, particularly over the last 100 years, you will see dramatic expressions of independence. Ethnic groups, religious groups, nations seeking for independence, seeking identity and dignity and autonomy. Another quality of adolescence is that an adolescent often sees him or herself as invincible or indestructible, not being aware of their own weaknesses. I think that if you look in the world today, particularly in America, you can see how we often approach things with this sense of invincibility or indestructibility. And unfortunately, recent events have taught us an important lesson that we are not immune from what is taking place in the world, and we are not indestructible. Another quality of adolescence is that an adolescent has the physical capacities of an adult. An adolescent can, if he or she wants, give life. An adolescent can, if he or she wants, take life. An adolescent has the physical capacities of an adult, but may lack the spiritual, emotional, intellectual maturity to go along with those physical capacities to use them to their fullest. We are in a similar stage. We have right now amazing material capacities. We have the ability, if we wanted to feed the whole world. We have the ability, if we wanted to annihilate the whole world. We have amazing material capacities, but we lack, as of yet, the spiritual, the emotional, or the intellectual maturity to go along with those physical capacities to use them to their fullest. And this is the challenge that's before us. And we are at the stage of adolescence, and we are at the edge of adulthood, but we have to mature, and we have to grow, and we have to progress in order to be adults. I would submit to you that one of our greatest challenges in entering into adulthood is the achievement of the equality of women and men. In order to illustrate the importance of this principle, I want to share with you an analogy that comes from my own religious tradition, which is that of the Baha'i Faith. And the analogy is that humankind is like a bird with two wings. One wing is that of the female, and the other is that of the male. And until both wings are equally strong, the bird will be unable to soar or fly to its fullest potential. And we have, as a civilization throughout our history, been handicapped by our lack of equality. And this is a handicap that affects both men and women, because we are attached to the same bird, and we are unable to fully mature and to fully soar to our fullest potential. Now, if you examine this analogy, it's interesting because you might notice you actually can't stick the right wing of a bird on the left side, nor can you stick the left wing of a bird on the right side. They are, in fact, unique wings. They are different, but they have to be equally strong in order for the bird to fly. This issue is something that we have to achieve in order for our own progression as a humankind, if we want to enter into adulthood and to achieve the capacity that we have. But we have a long way to go. And I know that... Ooh! Exactly! That is what I was thinking! I wish I could just do that all the time. So now you know, we have so much to do, and we have a charge, and we have to move forward. And there is a lot that we have to address. There are many things happening to women throughout the world that need our attention. And I know that all of you are very well educated, and you probably are already familiar with what's happening to women in the world. But in spite of your knowledge, I want to just share with you a few statistics to make this point. Of the world's 1 billion illiterate adults, 2/3 of them are women. In the United States, 1 out of every 5 women have been raped. In Peru, 70% of all crimes reported to police are of women being beaten by their husbands. In the United States, 3 to 4 million women are victimized by violence each year. In India, 1 out of every 5 deaths among women was reported to be a case of accidental burns. In Zaire, girls spend 1/3 as much time in school as boys and do most of the heavy farm work. In Pakistan, a woman's word is worth only 1/3 of a man's word in a court of law. Female genital mutilation is inflicted on at least 2 million girls each year, 6,000 per day, or 5 every minute. In Canada, 62% of all women murdered died at the hands of their spouses. And finally, at the current rate of progress, women will reach equality with men in decision-making positions only around the year 2465. Now that's according to the U.S. Fund for Feminist Majority. The United Nations actually puts that date further back in time and estimates that women won't reach equality with men in decision-making positions until the year 2490. So we have a problem, and it is something that requires our attention, not only for the sake that it's something that disturbs us or it's something that looks bad, and we feel, given our own idealistic views, that we need to help people, but also for the sake of our own survival and our advancement as a civilization. It is in our interest, both men and women, because we are attached to the same bird. And we have to engage in a process that involves both our individual personal transformation, requiring us to look deep inside of ourselves, looking at our attitudes, our assumptions, and our behaviors, which are inherited and usually unexamined. And it also requires us to place in society institutions that promote justice and protect women from violence. And both of these things must happen. We must transform personally, individually, and we must implement institutions of justice. Just to give you one example of the importance of both of these things happening at once, some of you may be familiar. In the 1960s, we had something called the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement was incredibly successful at transforming the laws and institutions within society. In fact, countries throughout the world come to the United States to study our Constitution, our statutes, and our Supreme Court decisions based on race relations. But I don't know if you all have noticed or if you didn't know, but we have not eliminated prejudice and we have not eradicated racism. And so while we might have done a good job with the laws on the books, we have not done such a great job at transforming hearts. And we have to do both of these things at the same time. This is particularly true when we're discussing the equality of women and men, because the treatment of women happens in private spheres within society, between a husband and wife, within a home, in areas that are not easily regulatable. And so it's even more important that we engage in this process of personal, spiritual transformation, as well as the process of implementing laws and institutions that promote justice. So there is a lot that we have to do. I want to just close with one thought, and I want to apologize in advance for those of you who heard me speak last night. It may be a little repetitive. For those of you who are involved in these or other issues, other social justice issues, you may be very frustrated, because working in human rights or working in these fields can be incredibly depressing. These areas are often in areas where you're working with insensitive people who don't get it. You're working with laws that are unjust and don't work. You're working with women who may be unfamiliar with what it is to speak on their own behalf. And it can be a very frustrating process, and it can make you very depressed, and it can make you despondent. And that's the danger when you are focused on the difficulties in the world and when you are trying to advance human rights or promote social justice. The danger is that you become cynical and you become depressed and pessimistic. And for me, it's a constant struggle, but there is one analogy that is, again, used in the Baha'i writings, which to me is an inspiration and is a source of hope and helps me, I think, see this larger process that we're all a part of, and it makes it easier to engage in this kind of work. Just as a favor to me, I want you all to imagine for a moment that you are not human. I know it's hard because you're used to being human and stuff. But just imagine for a moment that you are not human. You know nothing about the human body. You're from Mars. And the Martians decide to send you to Earth to study humans. And in their wisdom, they decide to beam you, or plop you, whatever they do, into the middle of a hospital, into the middle of a maternity ward, into the middle of a labor. And this is the first thing you see. You know nothing about the human body, remember. So what you see may confuse you. What you see may perplex you. What you see may frustrate you. What you see may bring you pain. And what you see may make you think that nothing can possibly be worth this. Because you will see some difficulty, you will see some anguish, you will see some effort, you will see small successes, and you will see failures. You will see blood, you will see sweat, and you will see tears. And if you didn't understand the process, if you didn't understand the human body, you could very easily become depressed and cynical, pessimistic, and despondent. But if you understand the process, if you understand the human body, and you understand this larger process of birth, then when the pain becomes more frequent and when it becomes more acute, the more you celebrate, because the closer you are, you know you are, to the birth of something wonderful. I think that humankind right now is experiencing the birth pangs of the birth of a new civilization. And we are witnessing things that confuse us because we don't understand the process. And what we see, the pain, the sweat, the blood, the tears, the difficulty, the successes, and the failures, can make us think that nothing can possibly be worth this. But if we understand this larger process of growth, this process of evolution, this process of birth that we are all a part of, then the more frequent the pain is, the more intense it is, the more we will celebrate, because the closer we realize we are to the birth of something wonderful, something that will reflect the equality of women and men, a civilization that will have both wings equally strong and will enable us to soar to our fullest potential. So thank you so much for being with me and for all being midwives to this process of birth.
You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i faith, the international website is baha'i.org. You'll find information about the faith, and there's also links to the Baha'i communities in several dozen countries around the world. Or you can check out our blog at ecbp.blogspot.com. That's ecbp.blogspot.com. There'll be information about all of our podcasts, and there's links to Baha'i websites and some other great Baha'i podcasts. If you want to talk to a human on the phone, call 1-800-22-UNITE. Or in Florida, call 850-543-2129. To leave us a voicemail toll-free, call 866-590-4545. And finally, you can email us at panhandlebahais@aol.com. Thanks for listening.